If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We're going to pick up where we left off here just a couple of weeks ago. But as we were singing a little while ago, it was that middle song, "Who You Say That I Am." There are a number of promises that are in that song. And I don't know if you're like me. Some of you all come in here and the music portion of our time together really speaks to you. You hear God's word in it and it's set to music in a beautiful way and you are encouraged. And there are others of you who come in and the music portion is probably more like just repeating some words. People are wired differently. And I'm more like the second. I am more like the second person that I just mentioned, to where sometimes they're in your mind and you say them, but they don't necessarily grab your heart. I'm more of a straightforward teaching kind of person. But as that song was being sung, it rang true that these are words that Jesus said, "Who the Son sets free is free indeed." And if Jesus says that I'm free, I'm free. I need to believe what he says. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. There's many rooms there, and I go and prepare a place for you. And if Jesus says that that is true, it's true. There is a place for me. And so the music that we sing each week, the intent is to drive home in a beautiful way the truths of Scripture. Not simply to move your emotions, not just to stir your emotions with a good tune. That will come and go. That won't last. That is only probably for the moment that your emotions are stirred. We want you to be stirred by the truth of God's word, whether it's preached or whether it's sung. Does that make sense? Because we know that there is power in God's word. And who the Son sets free, oh, he is free indeed. I'm going to be reading today from Mark chapter 4. 21 to 25. And I know that it's been a few weeks since we've been together and studying from the book of Mark. But if you remember last time we were together, we were in the parable of the soils. And the sower who went out to scatter seed on four different kinds of soil. And the kind of soil was, or the goodness of the soil was determined by how it received and responded to the word of God. And so we want to be good soil that responds and bears fruit from what we hear. And I think the parable that's in front of us today, it builds on that same idea as Jesus illustrates his point by using word pictures of lamps and measuring cups. And so let's read together what our Lord says. Starting at verse 21 of chapter 4. "And he," Jesus, "said to them, 'Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear.' And he said to them, 'Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away.'" Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you would use your truthful word, your powerful, authoritative, spirit-filled word to speak to our hearts. We know, God, that we cannot change ourselves. We depend on you to do that. So give us ears to hear and hearts that are ready to obey. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you guys remember the annoying cell phone commercial several years ago where the guy was wandering around in all sorts of places and he would say, "Can you hear me now?" Y'all remember that? Yeah, me too. There was too many of them, you know. But here in these parables, Jesus is constantly saying, "Do you hear me? Do you hear me? And he says it in various ways. He'll say, listen. That's what he said in the parable of the soils. Listen. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Pay attention to what you hear. So several times, in several ways, Jesus is drawing attention to the fact that we need to be listening. The Puritans, who were such students of God's word, and they were giants of the faith, they would often call this the ear gate. The ear gate. Think about that. Is your ear gate open to hear what God is saying? Because the access to the heart can only come through the ear gate. And some people's ear gate is open, and there are some people whose ear gate is closed. So Jesus says to those who are with us this morning, can you hear what I am saying to you? Are you listening? Are your hearts ready? Are your ears open? Are you tuned in? Because we believe that Jesus has the words of life. He has life with him, eternity with him, hope with him. Without him, we have none of those things. And it is through his word that he gains access to our hearts. And so are you listening? And he uses two common items from everyday life to make his point here. The first is a lamp. The second is the measuring cup, maybe a measuring container or a basket. But first, we're going to look at the lamp. I recently did some wiring in my house, and it wouldn't have made any sense if I had wired everything underneath the floor and put the light down on the bottom. I set a couple of countertops. It wouldn't have made any sense for me to have wired it to where that light would have been underneath the countertop. It only makes sense that you put the light in a place where it casts out darkness in the room and it needs to be held up high. That's what Jesus is saying here. Does a light come into the room so that it can be stuffed underneath the basket? Or underneath the bed? Down on the floor? Of course not. The purpose of the lamp is to bring light and expose everything in the room. And the type of lamp that Jesus had in mind was an oil lamp. It would have come together at some point in a very tight place where a wick could have been dropped down into the oil and lit. And he says that you are not to put this type of lamp or this type of pot filled with oil and a light underneath the bed, but on a stand or on a table so that it can do its job and expose everything that is in the room and hidden by the darkness. And so Jesus is teaching us something about lighting, about the practicality of it, what it's supposed to do, but he's not so much interested in the lighting that you have in your home. He's pointing us to a different kind of light. And the way that Mark has constructed this sentence in the Greek puts the lamp itself, or the lamp is supposed to be as the subject of the sentence. And it seems that he is using a definite article. How many of you all from your English class remember what your articles were? Anybody remember what an article is? Oh, I know. It's been a while for most people. But there are, I think, I didn't look this up, but I think there are three articles, and it's a, an, and the. Now, do you remember? No? All right. A and an are indefinite articles. Which means they could be talking about anything. But the word the is a definite article, which means it's talking about something specific. And so here in this sentence, it seems that Mark is trying to point out to us that this is a particular kind of lamp, not just any lamp, not an A or an lamp, a the lamp. Does the lamp come into the room to be hidden underneath the bed? What's going on here? And it seems that Mark is, again, because it is a definite article, he's pointing out the fact that this is a particular lamp, and the lamp is Jesus. Jesus is the lamp that has been brought in and is not to be put under a basket or to be hidden. He is to be up there where everybody can see the light that is cast down. Nothing is supposed to be in the darkness. And so the question is, has Jesus come into the world to be a light that is hidden? And of course, the obvious answer is no. That's not the purpose of why Jesus has come into the world. But if you'll remember when we talked about that last parable, the parable of the soils, and through parables, the truth was hidden to so many. So it is here. Jesus has come into the world as a great light, but doesn't it seem that he is hidden to so many? He does. The light of Christ seems to be very dim, as if he really has been stashed underneath a bed or underneath a basket. So few people see his light. They don't come to the light. They don't delight in the light. Instead, they delight in the darkness. People are content to walk around in the darkness as if they can see in it. And if you keep up with the news, and I'm sure many of you all do, the culture has a desire to redefine the most basic elements of human life. God's creation, things that you would have learned at the very beginning of the Bible. Things like, what does it mean to be male and female? What a family should be? What is a human being? What is the point of life itself? Where has it come from? All of those answers should be pretty apparent to any Christian who understands the Word of God. But to the tide of the culture, again, as I'm sure many of you all know, they delight in calling darkness light and delight in calling evil good. As the writer of the book of Judges says, in those days there was no king. And many of you all know the next phrase. And everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Man, it's as if our world has no king, or they don't know their king. They don't understand there is a king, that his kingdom has broken in from heaven and actually is here now and is present in the church of Jesus Christ, in the hearts of those who believe. But to the outside world, they shun this king. They don't want this king. They'd much rather stay in the darkness. It's as if they say, don't show us the light. We don't want to see the light. We'd rather just be, have it stashed underneath where we can't see. We'd like to stay in the darkness. That's what seems to be happening in our world. And it is upsetting, isn't it? Not simply because your side isn't winning the culture war, but because the beauty of Jesus Christ has been hidden from their eyes. That is sad. They don't know they have a Savior that is worthy to be delighted in. They don't know the joy of understanding who He is and what He has done for them. Like that song that we sang, they don't know what He says about them. They don't know that they can be a child of the living God. And they think their way is better. How truly sad that is. These people have eyes that are accustomed to living in the dark to the point that it looks like it is light to them. So they refuse to listen. So as Jesus says here, they do not have ears to hear. Do you? Do you have ears to hear what Jesus Christ is saying here? Can you see His light? And He makes a beautiful promise to us in verse 22. Look at what He says. He says, for nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. And so what seems or looks secret or hidden to the world as they look on, Jesus is promising that the day is coming when everything will be exposed. There is a day when evil will not rule, when evil will not even exist. So the light will come fully on a day of God's choosing. And so, brothers and sisters, we can take heart in this promise here that the dark world that we live in right now will someday be completely exposed. When Jesus comes back into this world, light will come with Him and His kingdom too. And what is dark now, it will not stay dark forever. We need to believe that promise. Because I know there are times, I don't know if with you, with me it does. It's just like, we just get used to it. It's just the waters that we're swimming in all the time. You just know things are going to get worse. And they will. But the day will come when our Savior will return for His church. And then forever and ever, there will be light. So those that love evil and do it and get away with it, if they keep their ears stopped and they refuse to come to the light, God will expose them in very public view, and He is going to give them fully what they deserve. That day is coming. And so these cultural forces that we see right now that seem to be winning everything, they will not win in the end. That's one encouragement that Jesus gives to us here. But something else is encouraging, and it's not just aimed at the world. It's not just aimed at everybody else out there. He's actually aiming at us. For those who have ears to hear this morning and hearts that love Jesus, this is for you. God is exposing the darkness that is within you, and it is still there. There still is darkness inside of our hearts. But He is leading us to a greater enjoyment of the light. So you used to love the dark. You used to delight in it. You used to enjoy it. But God is leading you to a greater enjoyment day by day of the light that He is casting into those dark places inside of your hearts. Have any of you all ever been in a cave before? Any of you? A few of you, actually quite a few of you have. Down in Kentucky, that is kind of like cave kingdom. You know, there are just caves everywhere. And there's lots of places where you can go and explore down in those, in that darkness. And one time we were doing a tour of a particular cave and went down, you know, deep into it. You know, and they've got all kinds of lights that are run down there. And they said, everybody kind of stand still. We're going to cut out the lights. And they did that. And when they did, it was a type of darkness that you could not even see your hand in front of your face. It was so dark because light could not get down in there. And, you know, and you're coming back up out of the cave and you start coming into the light, and what seemed to be perfectly normal light a little while ago was extremely bright, and you couldn't see. You could barely see as you came out because the light was so strong. So it is for the Christian. God has called us out of darkness into a place of light. And you and I, we don't see everything clearly right now. We don't see everything in perfect light. And maybe God has chosen not to give you clear sight into this particular area or that particular area right now in your heart. But that day is coming. He's being patient with you as He exposes you gradually to more and more light. He has a plan for every person here to eradicate all of the darkness out of you. Think of it kind of like the junk drawer that you probably have inside your house. Maybe you've got several of them. Like every family probably has a junk drawer of some kind. You know, and the day comes where you want to sort out that drawer. It's always kind of there. You know, it's got all kinds of trash in it that you just don't feel like messing with today. But that day is going to come when you sort that out. So it is with your heart, or particular areas inside of your heart. You know, God has helped you to sort out over here your marriage drawer. You started to get that kind of on the right path, living under the lordship of Jesus, honoring your wife the way that Christ says you're supposed to honor her, the wife honoring her husband the way that Christ says she is to honor him. So that's under the lordship of Jesus over there. You're kind of getting that in order, but over here, your workplace, not so much. You know, you sit around with all your other coworkers and talk about your boss, and all sorts of trashy things still come out of your mouth about that. You know, so over here, lordship of Jesus is kind of in the right place. Light is coming in, exposing darkness. I see it clearly, but over here, I'm not seeing that.
Maybe you're doing a pretty good job with your kids, leading them toward Jesus, spending time in God's Word. You know that's a responsibility that Christ has given to you as a parent. Light going in, shining darkness, exposing. But over here, this junk drawer with your money stuff in it, not at all. Not handling that well at all, not living for the kingdom, not living under the lordship of Christ over there, doing with it as you will, not thinking about how you can be generous or sacrificial or any of those things. So God is gradually, it seems, leading us out of darkness, showing us what we can handle right now, or what He allows us to handle right now, giving us light in dark places. This is one of the reasons why we need the church. We're not all in the same place. We don't all have the same maturity level. We don't all have the same love for Jesus. We don't all live in the same place or in the same season. So we have a certain angle. Each person here has a certain angle or an ability to see light in a certain way or in a certain area. And we need one another to help to expose our hearts, expose the darkness that is still in us. We need each other. You need that brother over there pointing out things in you that aren't godly. It is for your good. You need that sister giving you that call saying, you know what? I noticed this in you. What's going on? I'm hearing the things you're saying and how you're saying them. My heart needs light, and I need you to help cast that light into my heart. And you need the brothers or sisters in this room to do the same for you. It's part of God's plan for the church. But then there's something else that's encouraging here. Because I do think that this has to remind us of the place we are going that is only perpetual light. Jesus is encouraging us about, you know, the darkness that's within us. It'll be fully exposed and made manifest. It's going to be perfect light inside of us someday. But we're going to also go to a place that is perfect light, where there will be nothing hidden. Nothing will be darkness there anymore. And so what we experience here in these bodies of sin and death, in this world of darkness and evil, it should make us hungry for heaven. Are you hungry for heaven? Does living in this world of filth and sin and evil, does it make you desire to be in a better place? Because that certainly is part of what God is doing with His people here. He's showing us the delight of light, and we want to be in a place that is only light. Can you say that? I think the possibility for a lot of Christians is to hear about heaven and only see it like in an ethereal realm that you can't imagine. But the way the Bible talks, I think it uses a lot of metaphor to describe how great heaven will be. But I think the way the Bible also talks is that it is a new heavens and a new earth. It's going to be a place that you will live, perpetuate. Jesus says He's going to go and prepare a place for you. It's going to be a real place where you'll have real spiritual feet on the ground somewhere. We need to understand this is real truth that Jesus is promising here. And I hope that you are really hungry for heaven. Not longing for a place that you don't really think will ever come. It will come. Jesus says so, and there will only be light there forever. So that's part of His promise here in verse 22, that there will come a time when nothing will be hidden or secret. And so I believe a good application for the first half of the passage is this. Three truths here, three applications for us. First is trust that what has been hidden in darkness now will finally come to light. Jesus will come and set everything right. Justice is coming to this earth. Evil will not win. He says so. We need to believe that and hope in that and trust there will come a day when we see only light. We also need to be grateful that God is continually exposing you to the light. And He's not going to allow you to stay in the darkness. If you have a desire to just kind of hide your sin and stay in the dark, you are wounding your own soul. You're destroying yourself. You need to come to the light. And so we like to justify ourselves. I said a minute ago that, you know, you need that brother or that sister that comes to you and says this thing or that thing to you. Hard things. You need hard things said to you. Sin will not give up easy. Satan will not hand you over easy. You need to hear hard things from your brothers and sisters. And what's our natural response so often? We justify it. We make excuses. Well, you don't know this about me, and you don't know that. And how dare you when you've got that plank in your eye and this and that? If that is your attitude toward correction and accountability, that means that sin still has a strong grip on your heart. Sin wants to justify itself. It wants to stay right where it is. And the child of God who loves holiness will not want it to be so. So how many times in Proverbs does it say something like, you know, a faithful friend will strike me and I'll delight in it? It means somebody who is faithful, that genuinely loves me, is willing to say hard things to me to expose the darkness that is inside of my heart. And the wise man will receive it. He will delight in it because he knows that it is good for his soul. We all need people like that. We don't need to be islands unto ourselves. We need those people who love us enough to say hard things. And so be grateful that God is continually exposing you to the light, and he will not allow you to stay in the darkness. Third application from what Jesus says here is don't simply rail against the darkness that's in the world. I think we've gotten really good at that, especially in the last year. We just rail against everything that we hate that is going on in the world. And somebody does need to speak up and say what is truthful and right and good about the evils that are happening in our world, but also use those things that you hate to create in yourself a longing for heaven. I hope that's what is going on as you see the evil in the world and the darkness that is out there, that you are hungrier and hungrier to be in a place that is perpetual light. That's the lamp. Now the measuring cup. This is much shorter. And I think this one is much more challenging. I think both to understand and to apply, but I think it does also relate to what we just talked about a minute ago. And in the previous parable, and again, that previous parable was your response to the seed that was sown on the soil of your heart. The light here that is shown, I think these connect to the measure that is given. So bear with me. I think what Jesus is saying here, he says, let me read it again. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So I think what he is saying here is to think about the soils and the seed. That the more you allow the seed to take root, the more you allow the seed to have an impact on your heart, the more you spend time with it, you want to obey it, you meditate on it, you want to live by it. So the more that you receive the seed, the more fruit you are going to bear. So the one who measures out something is going to return with it. The more seed you receive, the more fruit you will bear. And so here, I think also in this parable we just had about the lamp, the more light that you allow to shine in and through you, the more light God will give to you. Does that make more sense? The more light you want to receive, the more that you turn up the light switch in your room. I've got a dimmer switch. We've got dimmer switches in here. The more light that is turned up, the more light God will give. And so the question for us is, are you walking in the light? Are you receiving the light? Are you delighting in the light? Are you spending time in the light? The more that you do, the more you will receive. And I think this is a biblical principle that holds up in more than one way. We're told this about money and possessions on multiple occasions. And I don't want to spend much time there. I just want to show you that this is a principle that holds true, not just here in your response to Jesus, but in the way that you even use your things. And so Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, you can read there someday, or some maybe later on today, to the one who has, the more seed that you scatter out there. If you're good at scattering lots of your seed out there, God will bring more seed back to you. He's not talking about just money. He's talking about joy. He even says a harvest of righteousness will come back to you. So the more that you scatter out there in your possessions and your things, the more God will add to you. Jesus says this as well. He said that if you sell your possessions and give to the needy, you will be building up treasures in heaven. So he says that the more that you give away, in a sense, the more you will receive joy and righteousness and fruit here on earth, but ultimately, yes, really, rewards in heaven. So the one who has, more will be given to him. And the one who has not, scatters not, does not, delights not, even what he has will be taken away. I hope I'm making sense there. And so the more you submit to the light of Christ, the more you will be changed by it. So it's determined by your response or by the measure that you use. So in your measuring cup, now so many of y'all done cooking, you know there's measuring cups. You put things in them. If Jesus is the measure that you are using, the Lord of your life, the more will be given to you of him. And to those who don't use the measure of Christ, they don't delight in him. They love darkness and evil. That's what's in their measuring cup. That's what they've got. That's what they deal in. That's what they trade in. Even what he has will be taken away. So as Christians, I think this has a solid application for us. If you are spending time under the lordship of Christ, delighting in his light, delighting in his truth, investing your time, your resources, your thoughts, your loves in the kingdom of God, more will be added to you. I think God will increase your delight in your Savior and increase your holiness. But there are people that are experiencing things in the church and in the body of Christ. They're around the things of God. They're alongside of the people of God. They even deal in the same language, in a sense, as the people of God. But yet they have no delight in Jesus Christ. What they have will continually grow darker, practically inside of them. And then ultimately on the day of judgment, even what you have will be taken away. Jesus says a lot of hard things, and he is not afraid to talk about hell. Every one of us here needs to be warned from time to time, actually often enough, to examine ourselves to see if Jesus is genuinely the measure that we are using in the world. Is he the stuff that you are dealing in? If he is not, there will come a day when even what you thought you had will be taken away. Hell is a very real place, and I hope none who are here today will ever experience anything of it. But heaven, brothers and sisters, is a very real place as well. And Jesus makes promises to us about the place that he says all of his children, all of God's children are going to go. And he will joyfully reward those who will invest in his kingdom. Is that what you're trading in today? Are you trading in the things of heaven? Are you trading in the things of Christ? Because if that is you, God promises to measure back to you richly. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19. And everyone, this is right after Peter, you know. This is right after the rich young ruler. This man who had great wealth comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, knowing the man's heart, says, "Sell everything, give to the poor, and come and follow me." And he was very sad and went away sad because he had great possessions. He wasn't willing to do that. And Peter says to him, because they'd always thought, if somebody has great possessions, that means they are greatly blessed of God. They have the things of God. They know God. And God has poured on them richly. And Peter's like, "What about us? What about us? We've left everything for you." And this is what Jesus says to him. Those who have invested greatly in the kingdom of God, this is Jesus' promise. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake. Jesus is the measure of what you are dealing in. It's all for his name's sake. That person will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. Even to the one who has, more will be given to you. God's not going to just give back to you what you have invested. He will pour bountifully, graciously on top of that, far more what you could ask or think. God says he will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. That is not a wordplay. It's not just hyperbole. It is truth. So brothers and sisters, do you have ears to hear him? Ensure that your ear gate is open. Is the ear gate open today? And are you willing to submit to the lordship of Jesus? Because that is what these parables are dealing with. Do you delight in him as your king? Is he the light that is on the stand of your heart? And is he the measure that you are dealing with out in the world? If he is, Jesus has great promises for you. I hope that all of you have ears to hear. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would open up our hearts to receive the words of Jesus. I know there's a lot that could have been said today that in weakness was not. And I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would apply to each heart here a direct application on how we can all live under the lordship of our Savior Jesus and receive the light that seems so hidden in our world. This is a dark place. And in so many ways, we've gotten used to living in the darkness. Open up our eyes to see Jesus and what he is calling us to be and calling us to do, that we will step into the light and shine it into this dark world for his sake. Each person here is measuring or dealing in something in the way that they are living their lives out in the world, in their families, in the workplace. May each person here deal in the measure of Jesus and receive back 100-fold in the life to come and eternal life with it. May we all grab hold of these promises and have our ears, our hearts, our eyes, our minds, whatever needs to be opened, open them now, God, so we could worship and praise our Savior Jesus in the way that he deserves. We ask it all in his name. Amen.